sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight, walking in a winter wonderland.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. In our next segment, we talk with Evan Whiteford from Ray, North Dakota, with Labor International Union North America.
This is Evan Whiteford. I'm a marketing representative of Labor's International Unions of North America, Ray, North Dakota.
Let's get back to that jobs in the pipeline for just a second here. Do you guys have any numbers or do you guys have any research that indicates the amount of jobs that a pipeline might create, or at least within your organization, how much activity this infrastructure creates?
Well, if you take the Dakota Access Pipeline in itself, that was a rather large project, you know, and that employed 600 laborers only throughout that project. And with the wages and the hours that they put in on them projects, they made enough money to actually carry them most of the year financially. So you get into these smaller gathering lines, you know, we can have anywhere from 20 to 50 laborers working on those projects, and you're talking multiple projects now, so that's a group over here, a group over there. I mean, there's times we will have 600-800 laborers throughout the state working just on pipelines alone.
How about when it comes to the technology behind these pipelines? Do you guys know much about the technology or the monitoring sensors that get involved with these pipelines? Are you involved with these smart pigs or the more advanced monitoring portions of it, or does that get handed off after you guys build the pipeline?
After we build the pipeline, our crews will actually run the pigs through the line, but the people that analyze the data from those pigs would be the pipeline owner that they have contracted out to. But, I mean, if you want to look at the history of pipelines, we can go back, to the 50s when they're just using whatever metal they could find to make pipe, and they're wrapping it with an asbestos tar wrap, and all that stuff has failed to succeed. I mean, that product flowed a long time before they started showing problems, but... Yeah, and there's never any leak detection. They didn't really have much for shutoff valves. So when something happened, it was usually a big event. Now, jumping forward, looking into it today, there's different alloys of metals that they construct the pipe out of. It's got an epoxy bonded coating from the factory that is put on, so it's a direct bond to the metal. It's not something that's applied afterwards. The only place that doesn't have that epoxy bonded coating would be on the joints where it gets welded together. And in that case, in the field, laborers would go through, heat up the pipe to draw the moisture out, sandblast it to a clean profile, and then apply a two-part epoxy mix on there that has to go through inspection. And, you've got to have accurate mills in there, and you're allowed a certain point that you need to be between, and that's checked all the way around that seam or that weld where they coated that pipe. So there's a quality control process out there that didn't exist before. And then there's other things that they've installed on the pipelines nowadays that they never had before. And they it's cathodic protection. They've got anodes and test leads. The anode uses electric current, and all your corrosion is going to go to the anode and corrode the anode and not the pipeline, not the metal surface of the pipe. And they also have these test leads that come out of the ground where they can hook their little computerized deal on there, and they can get readings on that, and they can figure out if the corrosion's actually going to the anode or if it's starting to come into the pipe at that point. I'm not exactly sure how they figure that out, but they've got some new technologies out there for that. And now, with the way the pipelines are built nowadays, they've got remote access shutoff valves that will notify you of issues with your pipelines. If something were to happen, there's a drop in pressure, it sets an alarm off. People get an email, and it's directed to their phones, and they can actually remotely shut off that pipeline and then send somebody out in the field to verify it shut off, leaving it a minimal spill instead of a damaging gusher coming out of the ground. So, worst case scenario, if a pipeline were to rupture and leak with the new technology, it can be minimized and cleaned up a lot easier and with a lot less land being damaged.
What would you say that the top three or two reasons for a spill would be? I mean, what I'm thinking about is just it's crude oil that's being pumped through these pipes a lot of times. And so what would actually rupture or create a crack in the pipeline?
Well, what would cause failure on a pipeline is it's mostly going to be corrosion. But there's instances where, you know, it just was not installed correctly. The pipe got laid on top of a rock, or rocks got dropped on the pipe. And, you know, what a lot of people don't realize, when products flowing through that pipe is vibrating. Now, if you stick a rock on top of that pipe with all the pressure from the dirt, that vibration, you're going to wear a hole in it, and then you've got an issue. There's ways to backfill this pipe to where you don't get that, and it's called padding buckets. And what that is, they scoop the dirt up, they agitate the dirt around, and it sifts the clean dirt out, and the rocks stay in the bucket. And it requires a 2-foot padding all the way around the pipe. So that eliminates the risk of that. And, you know, just how nature does it, rocks typically don't come down. They usually come up with frost. And so virtually you shouldn't have any rock touching the pipe. Now, there's some bad players out there that, you know, they cut the corners and they won't do that. They'll just backfill that pipe. Rocks get right on top of it. You know, and I guess more so you see that in the gathering lines, because there hasn't been very many regulations put into place. We're big advocates for the gathering line regulations that have just been implemented, and they have just now been passed. So we've got some success in the industry there. Everybody in this industry needs to be good stewards of the industry and the earth. If they ever want to see this industry stick around, this blow-and-go mentality just can't exist anymore today. People need to be more focused and more aware of what they're doing and how they're doing things.
What's the next step in that? I mean, we've got, you mentioned gathering lines now have got some more regulations. Is that the answer, more regulations? Is it weeding out some of the bad companies by not inviting them back in the state? It's more of an opinion base, so I apologize, but what do you think can be done to hold some of these companies accountable?
Well, what I think needs to be done is, you know, we need to look back at these. I mean, obviously the problems are buried right now and nobody knows they exist. So as these problems present their ugly face, we need to start looking into, you know, who owns the pipeline, who is the contractor to put the pipeline in. You know, regulations, they're only good if somebody's keeping a watchful eye. I mean, when the cat's away, the mice will play. So, you know, a lot of people think regulations are going to stop that. It might slow it down. You're still going to have issues. There's a lot of contractor responsibility behind this. I believe a lot of these guys need to, you know, get some better training out there for their people. And, you know, with what we do, we offer a training center. Our laborers can go and get all the training they want free of charge. And in fact, if they travel any amount of distance, they get a free hotel room. So that's what we do to set ourselves aside from the rest of the industry. Another thing is, too, is it's gotten really fierce with the bidding for contractors out here on these pipelines. And, you know, some of these contractors have bidding them lower than what they can really afford to do them at. So they're cutting corners to pick up slack and keep their profits in the black instead of the red.
To listen to the full-length interview with Evan Whiteford with Labor International Union North America, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit buildingthebakken.com. That's buildingthebakken.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network.
And pretend he's bad Leroy Brown. We'll have lots of fun with Mr. Snowman, the baddest snowman in the whole damn town. Yeah.
This week's Christmas music is performed by singer-songwriter Blind Joe. For more information on the totally blind singer-songwriter Blind Joe, who was featured on NBC's hit show The Voice as part of Team Blake, or to purchase an acoustic country Christmas, visit his website, blindjoe.bandcamp.com. That's blindjoe.bandcamp.com.
In a winter wonderland.
Let's take a moment and talk about Meridian Energy Group and the Davis Refinery.
Davis Refinery, the first greenfield refinery coming to the United States in over 50 years, and it's coming to Belfield, North Dakota, right here in the Bakken oil field. Talk about addressing the need for local. Well, that's what the Davis Refinery is going to do. I mean, the Bakken right now produces more than 1 million barrels a day, and the Davis Refinery will leverage the Bakken's natural resources and enable Meridian Energy Group and the region to realize huge long-term cost savings by eliminating the need to transport that crude oil to the Gulf for refining. But more importantly, the Davis Refinery is going to provide jobs. After construction, the Davis Refinery is going to employ 200 permanent jobs in Belfield, North Dakota. Studies show that those 200 permanent jobs will have a social impact and a ripple for 2,500 jobs. That's the Davis Refinery and the Meridian Energy Group powering a working North Dakota. For more information, visit davisrefinery.com or meridianenergygroupinc.com. That's davisrefinery.com and meridianenergygroupinc.com.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. MBI Energy Services, the cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. Learn more at MBIEnergyServices.com.
The oil and gas industry is coming back, and you need a source to keep up to date on the industry. Check out Oil Man, the magazine for leaders in the American energy industry. Each issue gives you a competitive edge with the latest oil and gas news. In addition to the news and analysis, the Oil Man brings you exciting features, publishes photos from yesteryear that chronicle the history of the oil and gas industry. Visit oilman.com to learn more and subscribe today. That's theoilman.com.